You're listening to the Arctic Circle podcast. In this episode, we listen to His Excellency Høgni Hoydal, Minister of Foreign Affairs, Industry and Trade of the Faroe Islands, speak on the Faroe Islands in the Arctic. This event originally took place at the 2023 Arctic Circle Assembly. The speech is followed by a Q&A with the audience, moderated by Ólafur Ragnar Grímsson, Chairman of Arctic Circle and former President of Iceland.
Well, dear friends, and Ólafur Ragnar, thank you very much for once again arranging this. I think it's a fantastic achievement that you have made this vision into reality with your staff. And let me start by saying I think the Arctic Circle and the concept where we take down all these barriers, these old hierarchies, these old subordinations is fantastic. And that's perhaps the most needed thing in the world of today. Regarding relations between Iceland and the Faroe Islands, I would like to say that the Icelanders have always had the power of writing. So they have often said that the origin of the Faroe Islanders and the Icelanders are practically the same. Norwegian Vikings and people from Scotland and the Scottish Isles went north and west to try to find a new place to live, away from war and taxes. And the Icelanders claimed that the boats first arrived in the Faroe Islands, where, according to the Icelanders, the seasick people and the weak people, they went off, and the strong and independent people went to Iceland. But we claim that this is not the right story. We say that when all these people went west and north, everyone wanted to find the paradise, Faroe Islands, but only the best navigators could find the island. The rest just drove with the tide and ended up in Iceland and Greenland and so on. And speaking about navigation and navigators, what we need in the world today and in the Arctic is, of course, good navigators. And we have all of you here because, as we see it from the Faroe Islands, the illegal and atrocities war from Russia and Ukraine, and the atrocities now in the Middle East, in Israel and Palestine, are again proving that there is an erosion in international law, in international cooperation. And the answer to these challenges is, of course, very much here in this concept. And we are concerned that this situation also can lead to a backdrop in the achievements that has been achieved in other parts of the world, and not the least in the Arctic, where the most important thing for the Faroe Islands is, combined with all the sustainable development goals, we need democratic sustainability. And what we see also now, where security policy also is increasing, military issues also are being debated around the Arctic, that the most important thing now is that we don't go back to old power structures where we are spectators to what happens in our region, but that it really is the people of the North Atlantic and the Arctic that takes the real decisions. Nothing about us without us, but I would call it democratic sustainability is the most important thing. And our approach towards the Arctic issue is, as you all do here, the Arctic issues are the global issues of the world of today, and we must engage internationally in binding agreements, both, of course, on the climate change, and we look forward to COP28, but also on all levels of cooperation which this forum initiates. In the Faroe Islands, we have adapted our own Arctic policy, of course, which our parliament will debate and adapt this autumn. And the approach is, again, a global approach, where we have said that stability and security of the Arctic is one of the 8 goals we have put to the front. And we have set international cooperation as the second most important goal for our Arctic cooperation. Environment, nature and climate is the third goal, which is the most important for all the people living here and for the world. Research, knowledge and advancement and education is the fourth goal. Preparedness and response, also in security issues. And just to make an example, we do not have an army in the Faroe Islands. I do not want that. We do not want a new military investment in the Arctic, but there will be more activity. We have to combine this with civil purposes, with the civic security for transport, for peoples, for tourism, and so on, and environmental security. Then, of course, the living marine resource is the sixth goal. Fisheries is, as Mr. Grimson mentioned, one of the most important things to feeding the world. And, of course, we will focus on culture and society and economic opportunities and sustainable development. But again, the most important thing in our Arctic policy is to engage in binding agreements, re-establishing international law, and support it. In other words, we want to get rid of fossil fuel and fossil energy. We must not go back to fossil power structures, but now engage on all levels so all the peoples of the Arctic can engage directly, not as appendixes, but as direct stakeholders in everything that goes on in our region. Thank you very much.
While we wait for a question from the floor, let me ask you this. We listened to a remarkable speech by the Foreign Minister of the Kingdom of Denmark, where he emphasized the important role for all of you, indeed, the government of the Kingdom, the Faroe Islands, Greenland, at the Arctic table. How do you see this going forward?
Well, I think we have been on the right path, also together with Denmark, on addressing this. Of course, the Faroe Islands and Greenland want to be a direct stakeholder in all Arctic issues. Mm-hmm. So we tried with some models, and there are, of course, some conflicts in that. But our argument for this, as I mentioned, this democratic sustainability is, of course, the Arctic cooperation will be strengthened with more partners that can take responsibility and push this forward in a democratic way. So we basically want our own voice and our own decision-making at the table. And how we can deal with that also in the construction of the Danish Kingdom is an ongoing process. But I think the dialogue is very good. There are conflicts, of course, but I think we will solve them, because the main issue that we take responsibility and not see ourselves as some receivers of help or subordinate, but we will take active part in this international cooperation, and that can only be, in our opinion, for the good of all partners.
Well, let's have the lights up and see if there are questions from the hall. But one of the things we realized when we were launching the Arctic Circle is the fact that if one defines the Kingdom of Denmark as a federal structure, I know it's not the official classification, but if you look at Denmark and then Greenland and Faroe Islands, to some extent it is. Over 90% of the landmass in the Arctic is under federalist structures in one way or another. They are called states in the Union in the US, they're called provinces in Canada. And we have always emphasized giving a platform to these regional governments, whether it's the government of Alaska, or government of Maine, Quebec, Canada, and of course, as we see here, both the Faroe Islands and Greenland. And it's often a neglected aspect of the Arctic political structures that all the major countries, US, Canada, Russia, Kingdom of Denmark, have established some different ways of dealing with these regions. Therefore, as we have moved forward and we look at the track record of these 10 years, it's quite extraordinary how these different regions have played a role. For example, when Canada, the then government of Canada, was not particularly interested in the Arctic, the Premier of Quebec approached us and came to the Assembly and invited us actually to hold a forum in Quebec. Anyhow, I know Icelanders can always ask a question about the Faroe Islands. We get that with our border bill. But if there are other people not from Iceland in the audience who want to ask a question, please raise your hand. Of course, my fellow countrymen can ask a question as well. But okay, do we have... Yes, Fertram.
Yeah. Hello, Fertram here, Kerisis. My apologies for zooming in on a very local matter from the macro matters you've been discussing in your discussion line. But there is a big discussion in Iceland about currently, as we speak, about the negative impact of fish farming on sustainability and the environment. And I wanted to ask in Faroe Islands, is that a concern in Faroe Islands, that there is going to be pollution and negativity and non-sustainability around fish farming? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Indeed, that is perhaps the most important issue with all fish farming, and has been so for many years in the Faroe Islands. And again, as Iceland and the Faroe Islands are used to go into crisis, so our fish farming industry went to some massive crisis because there was not a regime that could secure the sustainability of the fish farming. Actually, two crises. After the second crisis, we made a system now that we believe is perhaps the most advanced system to regulate the negative impacts on the environment from fish farming. But of course, still fish farming, also in our fjords, is a monoculture, which of course affects the total ecological system. And we are now trying to emphasize more on that, on research, to monitor the effects on the whole ecosystem of fish farming, and have not all the knowledge yet. And thirdly, we are trying to get the fish farming out from the fjords, out to the open sea, as they also experiment with and are doing in Norway and Chile and so on. So that will be the most important thing to... Already we have pushed near the open ocean. If it's possible to have fish farming in the open ocean, you will not have the same environmental issues as you have when you are in a fjord.
It is a very important lesson for us in Iceland. I remember when I visited the Faroe Islands more than 10 years ago, the CEO of Bakkafrost, the leading Faroese fish farm, salmon farming company, said, "You in Iceland have to learn a lot from us." And I think it's still true. So thank you for raising the question. Okay, the floor is open. We have a few minutes left. No, okay. So, what is the primary political debate in the Faroe Islands about?
At the moment, yes. it's basically foreign policy at the moment, combined with all the other issues that every country here is dealing with. It's the question of... human rights, it's housing, it's dealing with the consequences of the environment and so on. But basically now it's the foreign policy, of course, the situation in the world. That is new. We have for many years been spectators. We have learned from Iceland, of course. But now we are taking a much more active part in all foreign policy. So that's one of the big debates. And then, of course, the green transition, how we can get to our goal for being 100% green on land in 2030, and dealing with the big issue how to make a sustainable or a green fuel solution for the fishing fleet, which is the biggest part of our industry that makes emissions. So.
Well, somebody told me 10 years ago that before the end of this decade, you would be 100% clean energy.
Well, that's a goal on land.
Yeah.
But still, we haven't cracked the code yet for building fishing vessels that are 100% renewable energy. That's one of the big issues, both for fishing, of course, for transport at sea. But there are many good projects, and we also have some presenters here at the Arctic Circle to present cooperation on that issue between Faroese companies, Icelandic companies, and so on. So that's ongoing.
Well, Vala, thank you for coming here and making this presentation. I thought I knew a lot about Faroe Islands politics, but you surprised me when you tell me that the biggest political debate is about foreign policy.
At the moment, yeah.
At the moment, yes. Okay.
And still, of course, the independence issue is always ongoing. Now I'm looking to my good friend Lars, which I believe would have been a member of my party if he was in the Faroe Islands.
No, that's at four different platforms.
That's another discussion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.